Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio, this is the number one podcast for Dan Harmon and all of Dan Harmon Town. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe. How are you doing, Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe?
I'm doing okay. How are you been this week?
Been doing pretty good. You know, just hanging out, playing video games, watching these basketballs, getting upset about basketballs, getting upset about everything, mostly basketballs. Stuff like that, just kind of biding my time until next month when I can go to Las Vegas. But how about you? How have things been for you?
Just working, hustling, getting sick. I was kind of sick this week.
What kind of sickness did you have? Like, did somebody poison you?
Dun, 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 yes. Somebody poisoned me. I'm not sure. At first I thought it was like slight food poisoning last week, but then it lasted for, this entire week. So now I'm like, oh, food poisoning doesn't work that way. And probably down with the sickness of something.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what. It's like a stomach bug, like all the gross cramping and stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah. I heard that there's some new virus that's more deadly than SARS. I saw that on the news.
It's probably that then. Yeah. I'm probably going to die from that.
Yeah, you probably got the SARS, the super SARS.
Yeah.
You probably got WWE superstars. That's the disease you have.
Yeah, probably. It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan going heyo all over my colon and guts.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. What am I going to do when Hulkamania runs wild all over me? Wait, he wasn't a superstar. He was out by then, right?
No, he was a superstar.
Okay.
That's what I think
WCW at that point.
Oh, I don't know. I think they've always been called superstars, maybe. Maybe it seems like the early, I don't know. But if you do have this superstar's disease, you know what the remedy is?
What's that?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know. I didn't really have a punchline.
Is it Miss Elizabeth?
Maybe it's going to the USA, USA, USA for medical care or something. I don't know. That's a Hacksaw Jim Duggan line.
That is. There were no doctors in the WWE, and I don't think that should be surprising.
Oh, there've probably been a few. Yeah, you should go see, he's a dentist, but you could see Isaac Yankum, DDS. He was a good wrestler for a while before he turned into Kane.
Yeah, I was going to say he's Kane now. He's not interested in my non-lack of dental insurance, I guess.
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny if, real people, just sometimes turned into, other people?
That's what it used to be, though. Like, wrestling was... Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and Big Boss Man was just an off-duty cop.
Yeah, especially with Brutus the Barber Beefcake, because he was a very popular wrestler, and then sometimes he would just be a completely different man. Mm-hmm. He would show up in a different company, and now he's some completely different, now he's a biker. Hey, I know I used to be a flamboyant hairdresser, but now I'm a biker.
You guys, I used to get him and the British Bulldog confused. I thought they looked like or something.
Yeah, they kind of dressed alike. They had those arm...
They're brothers. Identical brothers. That was an old theme song.
Yeah. From Patty Duke, but it was about cousins. I don't think it's possible to be identical cousins.
Well, yeah, that's a mess, man. I don't know.
Yeah. That show made me so horny, though.
Really?
Kinda, yeah. I don't know. It was I saw it when I was real super little, but I kind of had a crush on Patty Duke because she was all outgoing. She really enjoyed hot dogs. A hot dog would make her lose control, if you remember correctly. And same here, So I thought that it was true love.
that's got to be a euphemism. I never watched the show, so I don't even know if you're telling the truth about this.
Oh, yeah, it's part of the theme song.
They loved hot dogs, made them lose control.
Yeah, well, just one of them, the one cousin.
Sounds
was
a White Snake song.
Yeah, well, she danced on the top of that Corvette for a lot of the show. That didn't actually happen. But, yeah, like, the one cousin was, like, all straight-laced and into school and stuff, and then the other one was, like, crazy, and, like, she, like, rock and roll, she, like, eating hot dogs and partying, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty hot. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. But then I saw, like, Amityville Part 4, and she's in it, and she's, like, a super old woman, like, around the same time that I was, like, really into this show, and it kind of blew my mind. Because, like, I didn't really know that, like, TV could be old. Like, I thought that all TV was, like, happening right then, you know? Because I was, like, so young. I was, like, 7 or 8. So, like, whoever I was watching it with, like, my mom or my dad or whatever, was like, hey, you know, that's Betty Duke. Who you like? And I was like, what? How? What? No.
So. You know what I just realized?
What's that?
You're talking about the Patty Duke show. They're identical cousins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And way early on Pool Party, you talked about whacking it for the first time to Sister Sister, a show about twin sisters.
That's true. I was whacking it to that show when I first ejaculated.
Like an MMA fighter, just batting a guy at the ground. Yeah, that's you have a thing for twins or twin-like scenarios.
Maybe I do. I never really thought of it before. Like, it's not something that, like, I think about a lot, but maybe I do. I mean, clearly I do.
Do you vividly remember every Doublemint Gum commercial?
Of course. Of course I do. They were all erotic. They all had short shorts. They were all riding bikes, flying kites.
Yeah, man. I think this might be something to look into.
Yeah. I think
Is your wife have a twin sister?
Sadly, no. But
you have a cloning machine that you could use.
I can get one. Okay. I'll try to get one from the library. But yeah, I think in order to fully exploit this fetish I have, I should, like, become, like, a wacky neighbor on a sitcom. Like, those guys were always dating twins, stewardesses that were twins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'd be like, hey, Sammy, they're twins!
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd erupts as he, like, walks out with both of them on his arm.
Yeah. And then John Ritter, like, makes a face like he totally missed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a simpler time, a better time in life.
Yeah.
Speaking of simpler times, you can simplify your life by emailing us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and we'll read it and talk about it. Or you can go to poolpartyradio.com to check out all our episodes and subscribe on iTunes and all that. I like to put some plugs at the top of the show sometimes, Mr. Frisbee. You gotta mix it up, you know?
I understand. You gotta change it up every so often. You gotta keep things moving and rolling.
Yeah, you gotta sometimes throw those plugs in, because sometimes people, you know, they got deaf ears for the plugs, so you gotta throw them in when they're not hearing it, or when they're not ready for it, and then they go, oh, well, I can go to poolpartyradio.com and subscribe and everything like this.
I could send an email right now.
Yeah, I'll email them right now on my mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
With the buttons, with my BlackBerry that has real buttons.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know. I don't have an advanced phone yet, so I'm still living in the past.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't email us, but you're on the show, so it doesn't really matter too much.
Yes, that's right.
Speaking of being on the show, something that we're going to be doing on the show, something that stemmed from an email, that's a good segue. Is that, you know, the Saw fan, he was upset with Frisbee that you'd never seen any Saw movies, except for the first one.
Yeah, that's what we went over last week, is that we got an email from Corey, SawFan666, at SawFan666, on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And, or is it at Corey SawFan?
It's at SawFan666.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, he emailed us in response to something we discussed about a week or so before, where I admitted that I only watched, like, the first Saw movie and didn't bother watching the other ones. Like, Parker, you've seen them all, right?
I have, yes.
You kind of marathoned them for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. Corey is obviously a fan, per his Twitter name, and he took umbrage with it. So he called me Baby Jason, with my name misspelled, J-A-S-E-N, all caps, of course, and claimed that I'm still wearing diapers, my mom's changing my diapers, all because I haven't watched the Saw movies. And I don't deal with bullies well. So basically I made kind of like a knee-jerk reaction last week to take him up on this challenge.
To be fair, I kind of bullied you into it a little bit.
Like I said, I don't react to bullies well. So even a person I consider a friend who's actually a bully, that's also a problem. And yeah, here we are. So yeah, I'm watching the Saw films.
Nice. I'm glad that you finally got into this. And according to Saw Fan, at the end of it, you'll be a man.
Whatever that means. I don't know. Well, you can also buy one of his shirts, and that'll make you a man, too.
Yeah, that does actually make you a man.
His shirts are actually pretty nice. You can find his shirts if you go to his Twitter page. Or if you look up his Twitter, there's a link there, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Rick Ross. It says Boss on it, or Boss. I don't... It's one of those, but it's supposed to look like Rick Ross. Yeah. He's an artist.
Yeah, he's one of these artist types. You know, he's very sensitive about whether or not you like the movies he likes and stuff.
I don't even think he realizes it, though. Like, if you look at his stuff, it looks kind of... it looks deranged, but he also has, like, some interesting takes on it. It's not, like, Basquiat or anything, but, you know... I guess it's Basquiat if Basquiat was four and the characters of things he saw, like Grandpa Snake or Grandpa Conda, whatever.
Yeah, I love Grandpa Conda and the Shacktopus. I actually started, I think I started following him on Vine. I downloaded the Vine. Do you know about the Vine?
Oh, you're kidding me. He doesn't have...
He's got the
What Vine. Is that like? Is it just... Do you get to see him, or...
Well, it's mostly just him wearing, like, the Saw mask, like the... Whatever his name is, Billy.
Saw.
Yeah, the puppet. Wearing that mask and, like, touching pillows suggestively. It's very weird.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Is it like, I'm getting images of, like, real dolls in those kawaii pillows things, or...
Yeah, like, he's drawn a picture of a girl on a pillow.
Oh,
and
man.
And he touches it. It's... Somebody should call the police.
I can't believe I'm taking this guy up on this. This is ridiculous.
But anyway, he's got a great Vine. I follow him on Vine, and I follow Megan Neuringer, and that's all you need to follow. Those are the two best ones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now I have to check it out, because, I mean, I don't know what it is about his Twitter account, but it's Twitter, so, like, whenever you see something in all caps come up, I mean, you know it's Corey's, and you know it's going to be ridiculous, so it's worth checking out.
And, you know, it's probably going to be about hot dogs, so he probably has the same crush I do. Patty Duke.
It's probably true, yeah. Alright, well, shall I get into it, or do you have anything prepared for this?
I have nothing. I did not rewatch them. I rewatched them, I watched them for the first time, like, 2 years ago, and I wrote about it on junkfooddinner.com, and I'm waiting to rewatch them, because me and Saw Fan have been wearing Kevin down, and I think maybe one day we'll talk about them on Junk Food Dinner, so I'll follow your lead here. I'll toss in my 2 cents, but I haven't rewatched them in a while, so I'll probably mix them all up. And we're going to do one a week, or one every other week. One movie every other week, something like that, unless something pops up.
Right, and we're actually going to get some guests on here to kind of bear the burden, because I'm not anticipating this to be fun, you know? Like, a modern-day horror franchise that a guy who's got pretty awful spelling for such a well-followed Twitter account and his own, like, graphic design business is telling me, bullying me to watch, lest I be called a baby, Jason. All right, so Saw 2004. I saw this when it came out in the Dollar Theater, Danbury Dollar Cinema in Huber. You remember that place,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I love that place. I got kicked out of that place once.
What'd you do?
Well, I saw a movie. And then I walked outside. I was like me and my friend, we took a break from watching Mr. Holland's Opus. And we walked outside for a minute, and the door closed behind us. And so we, like, tried to open it with our little fingers. And then some cops, like, walked up, and they're like, hey, we see you trying to sneak in.
There's so many holes in that story. Like, why were you watching Mr. Holland's Opus? That doesn't sound like you at all.
Yeah, well, there's this girl that I liked, who, like, she wanted to see it.
And what was the break that you were taking? You can be honest here.
Oh, I don't
know. No one's listening.
Well, that movie sucked. So we just, like, had to take a break.
But you went out the exit. When you just got, like, into the lobby to play some video games.
You overdosed twice.
What?
So how are you guys doing?
Fuck. Hi, NSA guy.
We're doing all right, NSA guy. Thanks for listening in. Oh, boy.
What was this about the overdose? You just kind of chimed in something about an overdose.
You're high now.
No, I'm not.
We're not high. And no, it wasn't to go outside to smoke or do anything, about drugs or anything like this.
You're out whoring yourself on the street for drugs.
No, it wasn't anything like that, NSA guy. Jeez. We needed to take a break because Mr. Holland's Opus was a shitty movie. And, I mean, we would see, like, a ton of shitty movies back then because they were, like, 75 cents, you know, back in the good old days. And so we saw everything, but this movie really sucked.
You got busted with drugs and drug paraphernalia.
No.
You're just not going to let this go, are you? I mean, you weren't even there. How would you know any of this?
I don't know.
Okay. You're just being presumptuous then. Like, I don't know, man. You just kind of chime in making accusations. Is this how you operate? Like,
yes.
Jesus.
This fucking NSA guy. You know, he accuses us of things. He listens into every show now. I just don't know.
He just chimes in. Yeah, he chimes in with accusations. Like, I mean, how serious are you about this right now?
I'm pretty serious. I'm pretty upset.
Oh, I'm asking him.
Oh, yeah.
How serious is he about this accusation?
I don't care about that.
You don't care about it?
What are you so pissed off about?
About how you're trying to, like, derail the show right now. Like, we're trying to record this, and you keep coming in with this fake nonsense. Like, none of this seems like it's real or anything.
I know that you're a drunk.
No, I'm not drunk.
You haven't, well, maybe he was talking to me.
How much have you had to drink today?
I had a glass of wine, to be honest, NSA guy. That's not a crime. But Frisbee, you're sober, right, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, I'm drinking water right now.
Do you have a problem with alcohol?
I enjoy alcohol. I don't think I have a problem with it.
You want to argue with me about whether you had one glass of wine or two?
That was Parker. Yeah. He was talking to you again, I think.
Yeah, I just had the one. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. So, that's not a crime, you know.
You are breaking the law.
By drinking wine in your house. That's excellent.
I want to go through the things that you are accused of, and some of them you may agree to, and some you may not. So I'm just going to let you respond.
This can't be real. Like, this.
Yeah, we haven't done anything, and there's no accusations. We haven't done any of this stuff.
If you start that druggy crap on me, I will walk your happy ass out of here in 2 seconds.
How? You are tapping in from, like, either San Fran or wherever. I don't know where you are right now.
Yeah, I don't know where he's from, but it's getting real. I mean, he's really kind of ruining our podcast, busting in like this.
Hold on!
What?
We're not going to hold on. What are you talking about? I guess he's putting us on hold to go interrupt another podcast.
God.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel.
Well,
that's
troublesome.
Yeah.
But seriously, were you guys getting high outside Danbury?
No, the movie just sucked, so we just wanted to take a break. I mean, it was, you know, we used to go to Danbury, and like I said, like, movies were like a dollar or something, so, like, we would just hang out there from, like, noon until midnight or something, just watching all the movies. So sometimes we would take breaks. I mean, that movie sucked. What are you
gonna do? That makes sense, though. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you didn't want to, like, pay another fee. You're just hanging out there.
Yeah, we didn't have to want to repay. But we got kicked out for, like, a year. It was a real shame because we really loved that place, and they had the Dungeons & Dragons arcade game.
Oh, that movie's great. Yeah. That game is great, I mean. Stop time. I watched somebody play that game So this friend of mine, there's that stop time spell for the wizard character.
Mm-hmm.
This was over at Arcade Legacy down by Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Kevin would know where it is. I don't know if you ever got to go out there.
I did not, sadly, but I've heard a lot about it.
Great collection of like classic arcade, like refurbished stuff. And a few of my friends were playing, well, two of my friends were playing this. The other two I didn't know personally, but one of them was this wizard, and he's like, he casts the stop time spell so the other characters can attack everything that's frozen. And he takes a step back from his console and looks down at his watch for a few minutes, like studying it carefully as if he's actually stopping time, and he got back into the game. It killed me. I thought it was like he was just so involved and no one cared. It was so funny.
I like that. I like his commitment.
Yeah, he wasn't actually keeping time for anything. He was just like, stop time. And I'm stopping time. And now I'm back. Anyway, Saw, the movie we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, the Saw movies.
Yeah, so, open scene. It's something floating by the camera. And we don't know what it is. But we know we're looking at something underwater. And then we can see a face. And we see the face open up and awaken and burst out. Whatever we saw floating by goes down the tube. This is important at the very end of the film, because this film is all about, I don't know, piecing things together. We'll just say that. It doesn't really make sense why it's called Saw. I think upon watching this again, I don't want to give it credit for being clever, but there are some clever parts to it. And I guess I should start with the criticisms, then, least of which is the acting. Cary Elwes is in this film. He plays one of the two gentlemen that we first encounter, who kind of set the pace for the time and space of this film within this kind of locked away, dank basement. Like they're not able to reach anybody. They're locked in with this giant metal sliding door, and they introduce each other, but they're chained. On different sides of the room. There's a dead body between them. There's a gun and a tape player. And that's the setup. Like, everything takes place within that time space. And the more they try to escape the trauma of what they've been included in, like, they find little pieces of clues to their puzzle in the limited space that they're allowed to move in. And it's gross and stuff, like, you know, there's a toilet, so they have to sift through the toilet when they realize that a clue is hidden in one of the tapes that they have, that they play using the tape player. That if they sift through the toilet, they might find something. And of course, they have to sift through the toilet bowl before the toilet tank, where, you know, it's all gross.
Mm-hmm. Where the doo-doo lives?
Where the doo-doo be, yeah.
It's doo-doo!
And... And it's all bleak. Like, there's really nothing to save these two gents. But what I was getting at is that the criticism I have is, while I love Cary Elwes, I mean, Princess Bride and Robin Hood Men in Tights, and that film where he was with Alicia Silverstone, and I'm pretty sure he played a dad in something. He's just great in everything. Except this one. Like, his British accent is not masked. In fact, it sounds like he's doing, like, American voice dubbing for an anime or something. It's extremely forced. It sounds so weird, and it breaks every time he shows up.
Is he British?
Cary Elwes? Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know. I thought he was American. Because there's that joke. I mean, I'm probably wrong, but because I'm basing this on a joke from Men in Tights. But there's that Men in Tights joke where he says that unlike other Robin Hoods, he can speak with an English accent. So I guess I just assumed that he was like an American guy who could do a real English accent rather than just an English guy.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah.
He's probably... That last name is pretty silly. So it's
probably
English.
Born in London, England.
Yeah.
And he comes from an English family of clerics, it looks like. And this is just IMDb stuff. Anyway, kind of a forced accent. That's why it sounds so natural and cool in Princess Bride and Robin of Men and Tights, in my opinion. And kind of breaks the feeling of this when he's talking like this every time. Can you just hand me the walkie-talkie? Or not the walkie-talkie, but the cassette player. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a bummer. He plays Dr. Lawrence Gordon, or Larry Gordon. The weird thing that starts off this film is that there is this presumably dead body in the middle of the room. And I understand these guys are traumatized and whatnot. Like, they just kind of woke up here at the same time. They don't know what's up. And yet, he's a doctor. So he's looking at this dead body, and I would think, like, you know, maybe he would know if this body is alive or not. As the film goes on, we learn that they're remembering more and more of things that they saw that led up to this point, right?
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah. They saw certain things.
When they wake up, do they have amnesia? I don't remember, ironically.
Well, they seem to be, like, coming out of some sort of drug-induced state, like Cary Elwes, when he finally finds a light switch and turns it on after Adam wakes up, the other guy chained in the room. And he's got, like, kind of blurred to focus vision. We kind of get from his perspective what he's seeing. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing they were, like, they had to get crated in there somehow. Doesn't really go into details about that. But yeah, they're finding, like, little clues and such everywhere. They got stuff stuck in their back pockets, and in the toilet tank they find two hacksaws in this black plastic bag, plus some other things we learn of later on. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, everything else is a little bit more clever than I probably anticipated giving it credit for upon rewatching it. Danny Glover is in this film.
That's true.
I thought that was neat. I'd forgotten about that entirely. He's a cop.
Well,
kind of typecasting, right?
A little surprising that he would play a cop.
The creepy guy from Lost is an orderly and works at the same hospital as Dr. Gordon.
Mm-hmm. His name is Zeb or something, I believe.
Yeah, Zap or something.
Yeah. He has a weird name. But yeah, it is, like, kind of a clever movie. It kind of, like, gets, like, you could tell that, like, some people were like, this is a very clever premise for a film. And, like, when they first had the idea for it, and then, like, that went to their head or something, and, like, they were like, all right, well, we're pretty fucking clever, so we can just add in all these other twists, too, and it'll be, like, pretty cool, because we're so clever. Because there's, like, three or four, like, twists in that movie that, like, kind of don't need to happen.
Yeah, and most of these are done by virtue of the fact that they're just remembering stuff. Like, there's nothing, well, there is one event that's kind of cohabiting the same time as this. But everything else, it's like, Cary Elwes, like, oh, I'm remembering something. I saw this earlier. And, you know, he's remembering, like, how he first heard about the serial killer that they're faced with in this predicament. They realize through this memory that there's a serial killer named Jigsaw who puts his victims in these games that he develops, these sadistic games.
Some would call them traps.
Yeah, I mean, they're traps, but he always addresses it as playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to address his victims either by, like, cassette player or, like, Amanda, who was the poster girl for this film, wearing the giant reverse bear trap head device.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like some sort of Victorian thing that, you know, is covering her mouth. If you look up a poster of Saw, she's on it, and it's disturbing looking. But seeing it in action in this film was not as disturbing as I remembered it being.
Yeah, I don't even remember her from the first one, really.
She's the one who talks about... Well, she's the one who has the interaction with the puppet, first and foremost.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the first time we see, like, the Saul puppet that we would have seen in the trailers of like saying, how about we play a game or something.
Yeah. And that girl is Shawnee Smith, who is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she definitely is selling it, but the head thing, like, I guess watching this like on the small screen now kind of loses the impact. Because I remember seeing it on screen, and they set it up pretty well. Like, they showed the device clicking open. But then when you're seeing her with it on, like, I wasn't even, I don't know, it felt kind of distant. But anyway, like, in each situation, we find, like, two other people who went through similar things. And, you know, these people are obviously connected because they have, like, these little scars taken out of them, these pieces of skin that looks like a jigsaw puzzle piece. And the point is to get these people to appreciate living and life. Like, these are people who somehow take advantage of life or kind of waste their lives in some way. Like, there's a guy who attempts suicide, although he's living, like, the middle American dream. There's another guy who, I guess, is on disability or something, and goes to the hospital to, like, you know, fake it, but is not sick, just collects it and goes about his day. And then Amanda was a drug addict, but she's the only one to survive after she ends up cutting open a dude's stomach to get the key for her headpiece and makes it out in time. And mm-hmm. It's a weird sequence. It seems like there's a bunch of weird cutting in this film of, you know, close-ups to, you know, far away view or focus to out of to rear focus or something. And I think it was something that worked in 2004, like when this was the first film, but I'm kind of doubting they stick with this since it didn't really work this time. Like, I was just kind of bored during that scene.
Well, that's kind of the thing of the Saw movies is that, like, they stick with everything, no matter how bad or good it is. Like, they're, like, the most consistent, like, franchise I've ever seen. Like, you know, in Jason, like, some of them are, like, scarier, you know, and some of them are funnier, and some of them are wackier. Like, some of them mm-hmm. go to Manhattan, and some of them are, you know, more, you know, like, realistic and whatever. And, like, some of them have magic demons in them. Not Saw. Saw, pretty much, I mean, they kind of set the template with Part 2, actually. But after that, like, they're all basically the same exact movie. It's very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I did actually see it, like, some part of the ending to, I think, the most recent one. And that one, I noticed that they had, like, the head trap in that thing, too.
Yeah.
So they didn't see all of it, but I was like, is this Saw or is this another Saw? And it was just another Saw. So I thought that was interesting that they kept it. I mean, I know where you're going with this because I can recognize that consistency already from the bit I saw from a later one.
Yeah, that's one thing that they're very consistent about in these movies is that that bear trap thing, I think, is in, like, probably all of them. And, like, they always tease you with it. Like, it's like, I don't know, like if Freddy didn't have a glove for, like, 8 movies, but, like, the glove was, like, just always in the background or something. Like, it's, yeah, they're, like, real insistent on having that bear trap thing, but not ever really doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I don't know, I don't think that's too spoilery or anything.
Well, in that case, like, I mean, they could have just called the movie Bear Trap. Reverse Bear Trap Face.
Reverse Bear Trap Face, that would be a good name for a movie.
It's probably too long. It's, RBF or something, RBTF.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is a scary trap. I would hate for it to be on my face.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, but when you're just, like, watching people get out of it and then you're watching it snap open a mannequin head, like, you know, I don't know. I think the first time it was scarier and this time it wasn't.
Yeah, there's some scary traps later on, though. The first one doesn't really have very good traps. Like, there's, like, that one where, like, it's just like a jungle gym made out of barbed wire. Like, that's not very good.
Yeah, it was like razor wire still. Yeah, yeah, that was kind of dumb.
There's some good ones later.
The guy who was sick, he's stuck in a room that has numbers written everywhere along the wall, and there's broken glass everywhere. He's nude and covered in this flame. and is a candle. He's also got a slow-acting poison. Everybody's got a slow-acting poison in them somehow. It's, you don't know what kind of poison, but it is slow-acting.
So slow. And
so slow. And he has to use the candle to read every number, I guess. I'm not sure what the what he's looking for. Like, there's no clue that, hey, there's a pattern you should look for, but you'll have to study it. I mean, it's just like the number, the numbers that will open the safe are written on the wall. But it's literally like just, it's the 1 through 9 sequence done over and over again in different orders everywhere, consistently, in lines, up and down these walls. So it's like, you know, fuck it, dude. Just try your best at safe cracking at that point. But he's walking around with the candle and he's covered in like flammable jelly. So he goes up in flames. Or, you know, that's what we assume. There's a lot of cutaways in this film outside the razor wire part. Where it's like the guy just kind of swinging on razor wire.
Yeah.
And until we actually get to the namesake where we see a person saw off their foot.
Oh, yeah, that's metal.
Yeah, and I remember that being in the trailer. Like, people were like, saw, because he's using a saw to saw off his leg. And, or his foot, rather. And the ending, like, has the potential to be really, really great. Like you said, there's a lot of twists to this film. It is fairly clever and in its own way. And I think it's pretty self-aware of that too. Like, yeah, this is so clever. We'll get the guy who helped write it, play one of the main characters in it. Which is kind of hilarious because his acting prowess is, not that extensive.
Yeah. He's not very good. They could have got another Cary Elwes. Two Cary Elwes. This would have been pretty good.
When he's faking his, when he's trying to fake his death, because we find out that the game is that the doctor has to kill Adam, the other guy who woke up in the tub in the beginning at the other side of the room. He has to kill him in order to save his own family. So Cary Elwes is, you know, Dr. Gordon's thinking about, you know, my wife and my kid. Got to save my wife and my kid. Got to shoot Adam. Well, how? Why? And he's given like this small out, you know, to have him smoke a cigarette if it's laced with some poisonous blood. And they try to trick the camera that's, you know, filming them doing this. But there's so many safety nets in place that it doesn't really come to work out. And so Adam fakes his death, but his fake death scene looks like something that Screech Powers would do on Saved by the Bell. Like, he's just kind of, you know, doing a spaz dance at a Devo concert, and then he keels over. But then there's electroshock on the collar, so he starts doing the spaz dance on the ground on his back. And none of it's really convincing. But, yeah. It's just kind of hammy. And I think that's part of why people dig it, too.
Yeah. I think a lot of the reason people dig it is, like, a lot of the best, like, iconic horror movies, like, they're, like, pretty okay, but then, like, they have, like, some crazy great ending, you know? Like, Friday the 13th is, like, pretty okay, like, there's cool gore, you know, for, like, the time and stuff, but, like, mostly it has, like, this crazy great, like, stinger at the ending, and I think that's mostly why people, you know, why that became, like, such a, like, huge franchise. And that movie, like, this Saw movie definitely has that. Like, if this movie kind of would have ended, like, kind of, you know, whatever, like, in a sort of neutral fashion, I don't think it would have became huge. But, you know, spoiler alert here for the Saw movies that came out a million years ago. But when the dead dude, you know, stands up and says, hey, fuck you guys, and closes the door on those guys, like, that's, like, the most insane shit ever. And even though I knew, you know, because, like, I saw these movies, like, way late, like, I knew that was going to happen. But even though I knew it was going to happen, like, it was still like, oh my God, this... Oh, it's a game changer. Oh, I like had to clutch my chest and stuff. Like, it's a really crazy ending for a movie that's like, you know, pretty good. You know, it's all right. Not anything great, but that ending is pretty fantastic.
Yeah. The first time you watch it, if you've not heard anything about it, and and not had it spoiled for you. But I'm sure, like, if you're watching it for the first time and you're like, oh, that head thing is weird. Oh, razor wire, that's weird too. Or he just saw off his foot. That's really strange. And actually, I think Cary Elwes makes it out. Like, it's not totally addressed, but there's, like, this pretty cool conflict towards the end. And again, would have been really awesome, but then Cary Elwes tries his American accent, and I'm like, oh, come on. And it just bums me out. But then he's like, Adam, I'll get help, and, you know, yeah, he's out of there. But yeah, Adam's left to die.
That's true. How scared were you when you saw that? Like, how much did it blow your mind? Because you saw it in the theater when probably everybody didn't know. Like, did it blow your mind when you first saw that guy stand up?
Yeah, it did. I guess I was thinking, like, you know, Jigsaw was somewhere out there, and then, you know, he's kind of stands up. I think when he closed the door and, like, you hear the screaming, I was like, oh, shit, that's a pretty good ending.
It's pretty good. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, so, like, Jigsaw just, like, pretended to be dead just to do that at the end, like, tell him that the game is over or whatever and close the door. Like, because there's, like, no purpose for him to be pretending, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. But, well, no, because, you know what? During one of the flashbacks that we're getting, although it's not, like, it's none of the characters' flashbacks, it's Danny Glover at a crime scene. So Carol should not have been privy to this. But we see Danny Glover looking at these crime scenes, and when they get to the second one, they're like, oh, and check this out. There's a hole in the wall where light's passing through. That's because Jigsaw wants a first row seat to his murder attractions.
Oh, yeah, like he just likes to watch.
Yeah, he likes to, you know, be able to watch, or I guess in this case hear it, because he's playing dead.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, he's just like a guy who likes to, you know, be privy to just everything that's going on, likes to listen. Listen in. I know some guys like that.
Some real creeps.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about this movie? How many spooky points do you give it? And how many liking it points do you give it? I wanna judge it on both of these scales.
Well, the movie, like, I mean, this starts torture porn, right? Like, this is considered to be the start of torture porn alongside Hostel.
Yeah.
It's like 2004. So this is
And also rated on brutal points, too. These three ratings.
Okay. Ooh, brutal points.
Yeah.
So, spooky points, I would only give it, like, 2, maybe 3 mm-hmm. Spooky points. Take that with how much they're worth. And brutal points, I'd probably give it 6 or 7. It's a different exchange rate, by the way. So,
yeah,
keep that in mind as well.
And what about good points?
Good points. I'd give it a 5. I mean, kind of not charged up all the way, but still, it's good enough to where I understand how it started to get in the consciousness of mainstream America. But I don't know if it warranted, like, what is it, 8 movies?
7 movies.
Jesus. Well, okay, that's better. Then yeah, I.
That's okay.
7 is way too much. I think 2 would have been too much, because, like, I don't anticipate that they could do anything more with this. You've already told a story that's just a bunch of tragic, ironic twists.
Yeah.
So what the hell else do you need to do with it?
Man, you're in for a real ride then, because this whole bunch of tragic, ironic twists in this movie. That's basically all it is. Like, once you get to the 7th one, like, the entire movie, like, it'll be like, two guys, like, meeting up, and they're like, hey, what are you up to today? And then, like, for the next 90 minutes, it's just, like, flashbacks and, like, twists and stuff.
Well, awesome. So I guess I don't need to do any more of these, right? Because I just saw every film then, it sounds like.
Nah, you got to do them all, I think. If you want to earn the respect of the Saw fan, you got to do them all.
Fine. That's fine.
But, yeah, I'm glad that you mostly sort of seem to be okay with this.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
Well, I mean, you know, there's other good ones. 3. You can look forward to 3, I think.
There's one in 3D, correct?
Yeah, the last one was in 3D. That's the one that has the guy from Linkin Park in it.
Oh, yes.
So he's pretty good.
I'm just going to give you my opinion. Do you want my opinion?
Oh, well, I guess you're going to give it to us anyway.
No, I don't even want to know his opinion about these Saw films. Instead, NSA guy, I want to know where you went. Did you go to another podcast? Whose podcast did you go to?
Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, you went to the Acid Pop Cult Show. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's they're on Skype, too. Yeah, Acid Pop Cult. Any thoughts? What'd you talk to him about? What have you been asking them?
Well, I need sex acts with underage male students.
That's why you went to them?
That's a weird thing to talk to those guys about. I don't understand why you would offer that information about yourself. I thought your whole deal was that you wanted to get information from other people. But, well, you know, whatever. I'm not going to judge him. I'm not going to judge him.
That wasn't the question.
Oh. Well, you know what that means.
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's the end. Let me just turn this off.
Now, one other thing. I have the feeling that Cary Elwes is kind of like our generation's Roddy McDowell. Because he's also from London, also tries to be American on occasion, kind of hams it up sometimes.
Yeah, and they were both in vampire movies.
Oh. Well, there you go.
So that settles it. But, all right, I guess that's the end.
Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for... Yeah. Interrupting our show. I guess we'll talk to you again next week, so that's great.
What are you so pissed off about?
We don't like you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show. I would like to, I don't know, go listen to the Badland Girls podcast that will be up this pool party. It will come up on Friday. A couple of days later, the Badland Girls podcast is going to be up. And we were kind of involved in that. So,
Yep.
You can corroborate that story, right, Mr. Frisbee? We were involved.
I can verify that story. I was there.
Cool. So you might want to listen to that. That's at badlandgirls.com or on iTunes. We're involved. Yeah, very involved.
You can find our other podcast bros and sisses, I guess, in... I don't know. What's the gender-neutral one? Siblings. Our broadcast. Podcast siblings at website.
Sorry to cut you off here. But I do feel that Podcat Bros is a gender-neutral noun, I feel.
All right. Yeah, let's go with that. Our other Podcat Bros, you can find links to their wonderful podcasts on our website at poolpartyradio.com, where you can also find all of our old episodes that you cannot find on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. How about that, huh? Mm-hmm. A lot of people like that Stitcher. And you can email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We can like us and friend us and enjoy us and talk with other people about us. Check us out on the Pod Awful Network.
Yeah, the Pod Awful channel.
Yes.
The Pod Awful show starring our good buddy, Jesse P.S. has just returned for its sixth season. They took a big hiatus. He took a big hiatus. Now he's back. So I think their first episode back just came out the other day. And I will probably listen to it later tonight while playing Xbox. So check out him.
Yep. And also on Twitter, @FinalParker. @JasonFrisbee, @PoolPartyRadio, though, you know, no one's really paying attention to that.
Yeah, wait, what do you say?
And Dems the Brakes, that's how you can reach us.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said is articulate, it is intelligent, and it is logical.
Thank you, sir. That's that's all I ask. I just want to give the facts.
Go and be well.
So weird.
So that's everything. Also, I'm on Vine. If you want to follow me on Vine, I'm at Final Parker. Although I haven't made any vines yet. I don't know how to do it. I haven't taken the tutorial, but I'm there if you want to be my friend.
It'll just be all of Kepi.
Yeah. If you want to see like lots of videos of dogs doing cute stuff and sometimes my wiener, and follow me on Vine. So yeah, sorry. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about some other stuff. The week after that, I think Katie Rotz will be here, and we'll be talking about Saw Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, this is Parker for the creepy NSA guy, Muhammad, who is not here this week, and for Jason Ray's babes, Frizz Babe, and we're saying thanks for having fun.
There's not a thing wrong with what you just said, and God bless you for claiming that right.
Huh. Yeah.